Susan was great and very physical. But then she read for about 20 minutes each, so there won't be an interval. They do have some of their books here, which you can look at afterwards, and you can buy. So, without any more ado, I'll say welcome to George Shirts.
I guess I'm to stand behind these, am I? Hanging makes us one. I a hangman, you a hanging judge, meet under the hanging tree for the hard work that is waiting to be done, and the hanging tree broods over you and me. I rise up in the morning and make my bed, feed myself and discipline myself in the discipline by which my children are fed. I keep unwelcome thoughts out of my head, thanking God for the backwater I am in. My even disposition that keeps life at arm's length, sense of humor that lets me sleep at night and eat by day, and if sometimes I get an awful fright that takes my hunger away, I can pray and pray, make promises, and all in all, I seem to be here to stay. You would not recognize me as the hangman, nor yourself as the hanging judge, nor either of us as the judge's dear old mistress, or the condemned man's dim-witted mother, or the butcher that butchers for the last meal. We hardly know each other, but here we meet under the hanging tree, and a hard work is waiting to be done. The tree is beautiful, that felled and hewn out along the grain becomes the structure, lofty, beautiful, on which the hanged man, on which the condemned man is lifted up. The limestones that build the prison wall, cut and quarried out along the grain, gray stones, it's not quite right, stones, gray stones, with the grain of ancient trees, veins of ancient leaves, chambered chambers of architectural oozy creatures embedded in their stuff. They rest along the earth in stony levels, barred with windows, roofed with a stony roof. Their fabric rising gray in the changing sky, hardly changing with its changes, keeping its stone mood and roofing in the lifted hanging tree. The judge is a limestone judge with chambered ancient levels in his mind, veiny and fossil creatures in his soul. In the Great War, he was a gallant soldier, destroyed single-handed an enemy pillbox with a Mills bomb, pushing it over the sill, rescued an enemy NCO under fire, was decorated twice before he was 20. That was his war. Peace has brought him down to money and traction, money and natural gas, big marriage, death of a coward son heaved him and tore him like a berth. He is kind, as we would want to be kind, knows more than we know, and he has consented to be our judge after a stern life, as befits our justice, a sentimental life, as befits our justice, a steady voice of a life whose tones speak the steady words of our law to the hanging tree. Children's eyes uncover a new thing wherever they look. The earth unlocks and opens hugely as they peer into it. Yet every far horizon is no further than the fetch of their eyes. It is a giant world, magic and all real, with candelabra and branchy hanging trees and dark holes that lead away to the black. A hungry world, heart-eater of a world, and yet a gorgeous-handed, a glad-giver, extravagant over-giver of all imaginable things. Children's roads lead all the way out to the edge, through tall trees and wastes of metal and glass. Electric eyes watch them. Ogres are on their marches. Yet this is true so long as childhood lasts, that every watched road has a secret way out. At the high altar and other less orthodox places, amid incense, candle smoke, odors of heavenly bliss, and other less orthodox odors, prayers are said for this hanging, and there is serious talk in serious little groups, and some think it has been good, because God knows hanging is a prayerful thing. But others think of other prayerful things, staggering needs of the world, explosions, statistics, bad news about the flock. And the murder was mean and casual. A young punk and an aged cigar store keeper. He robbed the old lady and beat her and stabbed her with scissors, and she lived for 2 days. Is it godly to pray about such a thing? The faithful bells join in with the noises of town, and the electronic chimes make a joyful noise. The condemned man's aunt comes from church and settles down in the living room for an afternoon with the boys. Capital punishment is a thing of the past, they all agree, left over from barbarous days, and it ought to be abolished, and abolished fast, before poor Huzid comes to his time and pays. But it's already far too late, says Huzid's aunt. And it's never anything else but far too late. You think you want to do something, but you can't. And after you've smelled the rope, you believe in fate. This aunt is one of the girls of the old brigade, a prickly, hairy female, a jingling doll, eyes that roll with the world and look afraid, bosom that parts and drops away like the fall. The boys all bleed around her, the long-legged boys, sneering at fate. Who believes in fate, they sneer. But fate believes in the boys and their sneering noise, their long-legged ploys, and their notions soaked in beer. The rope waits in the air. Parson waits, prison officials wait, newsmen with weary eyes wait, hunching their collars up like winter birds bunched on chimney tops. And the apparatus of cleanliness waits, and the keepers by the door, and the doctor who knows when a body dies. Stink of cleanliness makes their nostrils sore. For there is always something to wait for. Prisoners wait, watching their bars, as they always wait, knowing, watching, listening. The clock bears down on the silence. How does it get done when it does get done? Somehow the wait must come to the event. Does the clock bring it on? There is a man to bring it on, and for the moment, he is you and me. Here we wait under the hanging tree, and we wait, here we meet, sorry, under the hanging tree, and we wait, and he waits, and the clock bears down on our waiting. God's good kind earth, God's many bosomed earth, God's suffering, ugly, cunning, beautiful, wounded creature of earth. The pit whence we were dug, the garden in which we grope for love. Kind earth, our gorgeousness of blood, our fleeting pain of birdsong, our poised in air, our footsore, delicate, our lifted up in grief, our loosed in death, carrion, dark-tongued earth, tell our deeds to the dark. Well, I had to sort of make up my mind to read that one, and I apologize for a few hesitancies and misreadings at the beginning, but I really only spent the day going back over it, and I haven't really gone over it for quite a while. I should explain something maybe about the genesis of the poem. It started off very lightheartedly. I had a good friend who was an artist and another who was a musician, and I had done a radio program with the musician in which I read poems and then he played the piano, and I thought it would be kind of fun to do a three-medium thing with music and art, and I was going to get the artist to come in on it, and the musician backed out. He wasn't, for some reason, I guess the question of capital punishment was coming up in Canada at the time, and I thought, well, there's a subject, so I'll get busy on it. And the musician didn't like that subject, and so he wasn't having none of it. But I got on with it, and I finished it. And then the artist asked me about it, and he liked the idea. So he did a poster out of it. But he understood it better than I did. The poem, if you'll excuse my having something to say about my own poem, it's not, I think, about capital punishment. Another friend has interpreted it. Well, the artist himself interpreted it very well. He's a very Catholic artist, which I am not. But he saw it as a crucifixion. And that's the way he did his poster, although it's not exactly a crucifixion. It's an astonishing tree full of bodies with one body hanging from it. But that's what it is. It's a crucifixion. It started out sort of to be an anti capital punishment poem, because I'm opposed to capital punishment, but I don't think that's what it is. But I thought I would read it. I don't often read it because it's a long one. It's actually 7 poems. Anyhow, you had to put up with it. I memorized it today. My colleagues haven't heard me read it, and I partly do my readings for their benefit as well as yours. I know they're going to be here. But I'll change the tone a little bit and I'll recite a sonnet. Now, I haven't looked over these ones. Maybe I'll be even worse with them. The only sonnet I've written, aside from a satirical one on the subject of trigonometry when I was in high school, and this one has to do with our daughter Kathleen when she was 3. The wind blows, and with a little broom she sweeps against a cold, clumsy sky. She's 3 years old. What an enormous room the world is that she sweeps, making fly a little busy dust. And here am I, watching her from my window, in the gloom of this disconsolate spring morning, my thoughts as small and busy as her broom. Do I believe in her? I cannot quite. Beauty is more than my belief will bear. I've had to borrow what I think is true. Nothing stays put until I think it through. Yet watching her with her broom in the dark air, I give it up. Why should I doubt delight? And then another one that Susan and Bill haven't heard before, or have heard before, beg pardon, they haven't heard that one, they haven't heard anything so far, but this one they have. It's called The Bulge. Nobody knows what's growing in Bridget. Nobody knows whose is what's more. Maybe a movie queen, maybe a midget, maybe a braided bloke to stand by the door. Lovely, full Bridget. Her eyes are like figs. Her belly's an ocean, heaving with fish. Her heart is a barnyard with chickens and pigs. Her outside's a banquet. Her tongue is a dish. Something enormous is bulging in Bridget. A milkman, a postman, a sugar stick, a slop, an old maid, a bad maid, a doughhead, a fidget, multiple sweet Bridget, what will she drop? And then one more, called O Earth Turn, which is taken from a poem by a very good friend of mine, a Canadian poet, J. McPherson, and she has a poem. It's not called exactly that. This is a takeoff on it, and I've forgotten the title of her poem. It's very close to that. It's a Blakean sort of a title, and what is it? Never mind. My title is O Earth Turn. The little blessed earth that turns does so on its own concerns as though it weren't my home at all. It turns me winter, summer, fall without a thought of me. I love the slightly flattened sphere. Its restless wrinkled crust my here. Its slightly wobbling spins my now, but not my why, and not my how. My why and how are me. Thank you.
The good thing about being the only woman is that on this tour is that nobody has to wonder which one I am. The embalmer's art is, mind you, and not to suit everybody's taste, but this is not a poem for just anybody. No, in fact, it is meant for my family. It is a poem to strangers, then, on the occasion of Christmas. We sit sipping smart cocktails, funereal almost in our elaborate decoration. Around us, the room is dangerously lit. Every year it is the same ritual. It sounds quite normal, I know, and I suppose it is. Smile, smile. I unwrap each gift with the same cautious enthusiasm in which it was no doubt chosen. My young brothers twitch and their tinsely wives twitter. My mother laughs too, in spite of my own happiness. Even my father, the undertaker, is smiling to himself as he opens another box and quietly closes it again. Christmas is really my favorite time of year. Glad to see it's once again on the horizon. Only 35 shopping days left. This is a poem called The God of Love. On our first night together, there were sirens and a new moon, and no doubt there were different people turning to one another in different parts of the city. It didn't matter. That's why we had each other. It was more than just enough, but nevertheless something troubled me. I moved from our bed to the window where it was bright. The whole world around me seemed to be on fire. The air was black and breathing became difficult. I knew I had been mistaken. I saw that fire was much more than sudden brightness. Nothing could have been colder. I had not dreamed of anything so dark. The people ran about crying out to the God who created them. The sight of their vulnerable bodies made me feel humble. That was when I drew back to touch you, knowing we could never wake before the flames reached us. I go through a series of reoccurring dreams, and my latest have all been about the royal family. I had one dream where I won first prize in the Princess Anne look-alike contest. This is just before she came to Canada, and last time, I think. And this is a poem called Boogieing with the Queen. It was inspired by Warren Zevon's song, Werewolves of London. And I misheard one of the lines, and I thought it said, I saw Lon Chaney, Juju, walking with the Queen, and I sort of had this idea of voodoo in my mind, and it turned out he was saying, I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, but I turned this into boogieing with the Queen. That's how it went. Boogieing with the Queen down along the old canal, wearing an ankle-length overcoat in spite of the heat, sucking sweets by appointment to Her Majesty. The old girl got a good kick out of that one. You should have seen her doing a gang scuffle outside the dance hall or perfuming her body in one of the lavatories. She was perfect. She dressed for the occasion, a crowbar up her skirt and a quantity of quicklime. Hard luck to the whore found dead in a weed bed. She was queen of the quick throw, queen of alleyways. She was beautiful and we loved her. Pockmarked with a pistol, she danced naked over our faces. Queen of the underground, it felt good, good, good to be lying beneath her. They all loved her, the tarts and muggers on the commercial road. She had a full heart for a hatchet man, a kiss for a killer. You should have seen her teetering on spikes, a grudge-bearing scullion. She was obvious royalty. When she danced, we came alive. When she danced, she was really living. There was no dance she couldn't do, hard and fast, in a small lifetime. And this is, my latest dream was about having dinner with Prince Charles. And this is also something that happened to Victoria. He did come to Victoria and had, actually, after my dream and after the poem, so I was thinking maybe it would come true, but it didn't, fortunately or unfortunately. But in the dream, he leaned across the juice container. It was a sort of informal dinner, wasn't it? And he kissed me and said, Rita, I love you, in this German accent. And I told him my name wasn't Rita, and that's all I remember the dream. I then woke up, I think. I wrote a poem called Just Lust. It was only just, you were chinless, famous, shutters clicked as we kissed. I saw the photographs afterwards and I was barely visible. I don't make a point of hobnobbing with royalty, it was just lust. I said, I'm a married woman anyway. Flustered by my common touch, you fumbled for my knee. The traveling spotlights paused, you coughed, the orchestra played, God Save the Queen. And this is a poem about unrequited lust. It's called Taboo Man. He is fast and keeps bees, drives a flashy car, a widow on each knee, takes me voodoo dancing in dreams, paints his body with signs, tattoo man, takes a hard line, ties knots in my shadow, bully boy, I give him meat on a hook, bad blood and a butcher's curse. I only lift up my skirt, he grows old and mentally crippled, I offer asylum, I conserve spittle, still he wants a woman made in somebody else's image. I will strip naked in graveyards, leave my body and fly off. I will voodoo dance in a shallow grave, singing my own song. I will rage, rage, rage. Taboo man lends me his hand. I want to marry him, wear swamp dock to the altar. He wants to hurt, likes cold women only, dames to rub dust into his old wounds, old babes to crucify him over and over. Juju man judges beauty by the number of scars, love by the persistence of the infection. Hocus pocus man, I want your glass eye, your good eye too. Mumbo jumbo man, I want order. I want dancing in my body, all down my broken body. I want to litter the beaches with bones, long white bones of happiness and laughter. I want to rave, I want to moan. Taboo man, I believe in you, taking and forsaking love like you do. For about 4 years after I left England in 1970... I lived on the Queen Charlotte Islands, and most people in BC aren't quite sure where the Charlottes are. They're about 500 miles north of Vancouver and 100 miles out into the ocean. On a clear day, you can see the Alaska Panhandle, so it's pretty far north, but a very mild climate because of the Japanese current, so we don't get any snow. I go back there two or three times a year, and it's a very small, the communities are very small. In fact, the population, according to statistics in Ottawa, is 2,000 white, 2,000 native, and 1,000 counterculture, which is great. I'm not quite sure where I fit in. Sort of moved around between the three. But what happens a lot is every time I go back there, somebody that I've known is dead. In fact, I sort of do tours of the three graveyards and sort of see who's checked in. And on Halloween, if I'm there, I won't be there this year, but we usually go and leave candles on various people's graves. That's sort of a tradition. It was quite nice. But I was back there in September 1977, and my friend Mike Davis had just come back from a holiday down in the States. And he brought the news that these two friends, Vern and Joanne, had been killed in a car accident. Vern and Joanne had lived up the east coast of the Charlottes, and Vern was my Volkswagen mechanic, but he was very hard to get at because you had to walk 7 miles up the beach to get him and then bring him back down. But they left the island to join a commune in Seattle, a really strange commune where everybody gave up everything they had and sort of, you know, the people became celibate, but Brother Love had five women sort of attending him all the time. And I could never understand why all these really independent people went down there. So anyway, Vern and Joanne were killed, and this news came in the middle of us eating a spaghetti dinner. And I thought, it's always so mundane. You hear of the, you know, death of friends and you still go on eating your spaghetti. And, you know, I could die and someone would be eating spaghetti tomorrow night. And sometimes I have a hard time with that. Anyway, this is a poem for them, and I think all you really need to know is that it's really a very Canadian poem in some ways, but the only thing you need to know is that Vern was a Volkswagen mechanic, and that it's illegal, it's against the law to possess eagle feathers in Idaho because they're a protected species. So if you're found with one in your possession, it doesn't matter how you got it. On the Charlottes, they're everywhere, so you can wear them in your hair. Vern and Joanne dead, and Mike Davis just back from his holiday brings us the bad news. Jack Miller pours another whiskey. His old lady has left, moved to Pouce Coupe. So far he's got the kid, but there's going to be a fight. Mike feeds the airtight, Helen cooks the spaghetti. They were wiped out in a car. I don't know how it happened. Most likely Joanne wasn't wearing her glasses. They'd just come from the commune, and Brother Love says glasses are crutches. I remember you, Vern, at Cape Ball one winter. We swam naked in the river. And when the time came for you, Joanne, you too lay down naked. Vern delivered your second baby. Mike says your babies are safe. They were riding in the back. Nobody knows how it really happened. It happened a long way from the islands. Helen serves the spaghetti. That Christmas at Cape Ball, we had smoked salmon poached that spring. Vern, you Viking, driving your old VW over the Cape Ball River at high tide, you said you lost three of them that way, but you kept on trying. A good Volksy will do 300,000 miles on one engine, and once broken down in the rain, you stopped to offer me a ride. Your deaths bring me closer to my own. Friends die, friends go on living. I visit the graves of my friends, the houses of my friends. Mike says he felt at home in the commune. Jack Miller says he hasn't time to stay for dinner. I eat my spaghetti silently. I think that being alive must not mean very much. Between mouthfuls, I leaf through Patrick's postcard collection, Africa, Victoria, the world-famous sea lion caves in Oregon. Some of them I recognize. They are written in my own handwriting. The messages are indecipherable now, the ink already faded. We talk of this and that, Jack's latest artifact and the illegality of eagle feathers in Idaho, and Vernon Joanne, dead. Outside in the stillness, a mad dog barks at his own shadow. Mike pours the wine and there is some good cheese for afterwards. Outside in the trees, a dead wind is rising. We eat our spaghetti, silently. We are happy to see each other after a long summer. More whiskey for the glass, and Jack Miller says he may, after all, have time, this time, for supper. That poem that is about to be published in an anthology of something called Accessible Poems in Canada. The editor wrote saying he wanted something accessible, so I thought this was pretty accessible. And he wrote back saying, could I take out the image of the spaghetti because it was the one thing he didn't like in the poem. And I thought that was... lasagna wouldn't have the same ring somehow. Editors are very strange. This is for another friend on the Charlottes called David. He sort of keeps the whole island together. He organized Trudeau's tour of the Charlottes, and the American ambassador sort of hired helicopters, ran up huge bills that he charged the Liberal Party. And once a year, they sent him down to the Essendale, which is the BC mental institution in Vancouver, and he comes back with new suits and sort of all dressed up. I want to live on the same island as David. I want to drive down to Charlotte in his 56 Buick Special, stopping along the way to pick mint at Miller Creek and briefly at Jungle Beach for lamb's quarters if they're in season. I want to wait at the landing while David gets the clock radio going and leaves the car on display at Skidigat Esso, where neither the highest nor any offer shall necessarily be accepted. I'll bring armloads of lilac from the condemned house where we stayed once. I remember there was that grand occasion when David did a dance, a striptease for the Mounties who came to search everyone. David was a real shocker in black pumps. I want to remember David drifting in a leaky skiff without oars, alone in the rain at the north end of the world with a picnic basket full of love letters from Christopher. This is for another friend, Brian Patton. We did a course together once down at Totley Barton, and I was given this room called the Monk's Cell. And Brian had been scolding me for writing gloomy, morbid poems, so I told him I would write him a happy poem. It's called What the Small Day Cannot Hold. It's a line from a poem by Francis Bellerby. That's for Brian. All night I lay awake thinking it was you. All night I lay thinking maybe it was. All night I hung like a child's moon above the trees, swinging above the clouds even, and higher than that, the sun. All night I lay thinking about everyone I had ever loved. I wanted to give their love back. I wanted to give back the moon and the clouds as well. I wanted to give back the sun and everything that glittered. All night I lay dreaming of how it had to be done. All night I lay thinking maybe it was. Maybe it was your shadow crossing the child's grave. Maybe it was you who left such little flowers. He didn't think it was a happy poem. I thought since I had words like, you know, flowers and child and glittered and... He's now writing gloomy poems himself, so it all works out in the end. I'm just going to read a couple more. This is a poem. The title is from a poem by Stevie Smith called Recognition Not Enough. And I was involved in a a suit on the west coast of Canada where a young girl had been hitchhiking, and she was picked up by a man who then wouldn't let her out at the corner where she'd asked to be let out. So she jumped out of a speeding car and became more or less a vegetable. And the whole case seemed to revolve around, you know, what her damages were and how many mattresses she'd need for the rest of her life, how many pairs of diapers, just on and on. But the word damages was just sort of in my brain so that I couldn't think of anything else. But it was like, it became like a chant, damages, damages, damages. So what I had to do was write a poem to exercise this word. Today there's damage being done, damage unrewarded in the history books of the law. Damage being done to the children waking in the too bright sun. Damage being done to the eloquent, the lascivious. Damage is being done to the ordinary, to the invalids in their frail carriages. Damage is being done to the whole world, to all the nodding, careering people. They are bandaging one another, bandaging the damage. Even the artists with their crude tools, or doctors with their cool instruments, even the undertakers, they cannot stop the damage. I flutter my tiny hands, useless, useless. I undo my dress, it is useless, useless. I see weapons twitching in gristly fingers, it is useless, useless. I smell blood and guts and begin to feel generous. Damage is being done to everyone. It keeps us nasty. And finally, this book is called A Man to Marry, A Man to Bury, and the poem, this is where the title comes from, is a poem called A Man from France. He's a dancer, he makes you wild, he dances the dance of lonely women, he's a deserter. I lived with him, he made me smile. That was enough for me, but not enough for those French ladies, bitches. They were brought up differently. They wanted a man to marry, a man to bury. They didn't want Harry. Thank you very much.
You want the music? Hey, you want the laughter, you want the sun moving through your hand, you want the earth to move, and don't you many are your head is spinning through the sky. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sometimes I think it's just the intro in the rain and out in the rain again. Sometimes I think it's just the intro in the rain and out in the rain again. Like the other night, I was taken to some downtown expensive hotel. Thought I was in from the rain, but you know, I was just seen like a shimmy-ya. So many hotels on my shiny ass, and I was somewhere between bizarre and nowhere. My shiny ass out in the rain again, I'm but sometimes I think of mama, just the in from the rain, and I'm out in the rain again. I went away for a while, I come back home, and you're gonna see, you know. It shifted somewhat, so forward in the pain, forward in the rain again. How many ya, shmini ya, but sometimes I think I'm just thinking from the rain, and I'm out in the rain again. Hey, you want the music? Hey, you want the laughter, you want the sun is turning in your head, the earth is spinning in your eye, I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. Nowhere again, nowhere again, nowhere again. High in the spring, a too hole in the grass. High in the spring, a too hole in the grass. I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. Nowhere again, nowhere again. Because I want to be here to be free. Because I want to be here to be free. I'm a Shania, because I want to be here to be free. I'm a Shania, and the freedom kind of nowhere lately. And the freedom kind of nowhere lately. Nowhere lately. I hope I don't end up in nowhere again. Will it hurt if I listen to the singing? Will it hurt if I listen to the sounds? I'm a Shania. Will it hurt if I listen to the sounds? I'm a Shania. One of them has got to be you. 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 Hey, you want the music? Hey, you want the laughter, you want the sun to move into your eye, my Shania. You want to bless ya? Oh, holy stars and holy heavens a wing, you want to bless ya? Oh, holy stars and holy heavens a wing, my Shania. A trust in flower, walking light, a trust in flower, walking light, interest in my Shania. Hell of a line, you move to the darker quarters that to bring us to be a Hamashinia. In the middle of a winter, our hands are peopled with name Yoshimania. Oh, holy tender leaves are hot. Oh, holy time it is. Every step puts it a holy place. There's a you, Yoshimania. Wherever the energy is can find, wherever the energy is can find, it finds you.
When I first came to Vancouver from Halifax by way of Duluth, thousands of people would swim on English Bay in the sun. Now no one does. The sewers go into the water instead. Traveling through Wales, it occurred to me again, where does it go from a train? Onto the tracks, everyone said. My doctor told me cattle eat shit. That's what the cows alongside the tracks do, are waiting for when the trains pass. So on English Bay, in the waters, we could have cows diving. They would be water cows. People would be able to go into the water again and could ride the cows on the surf in Ode to the Boats or to the university. I remember a place in Nova Scotia called Cow Bay. That must be where those cows live. I'll go back there and bring the cows west. I came to bed and you were on a different side than usual. So I jumped in. The covers were almost off you, and the light from our window made it all magical. Only you told me I was on the wrong side. So I moved over you, but that knocked all the covers off of both of us. You got the blankets back on and your arms around me in the blankets. But my bum was too close to you, you said, to move my bum further out. Because it was too high and getting my head in your shoulders and arms. So I moved my bum out because it had bumped you, you said. But then my feet were hanging way out the bed. So I moved the covers over me and pulled them off you by mistake. And then you said to me, why couldn't I be light? Why did I always? Then you said, bring your head back, okay, between my arms. And I did, and we fell asleep. After I got up and tripped round our place, lighting candles, doing some drawings, and getting ready to dream. The unicorn is loose. The unicorn is loose again. The unicorn is loose again. The unicorn is loose. The unicorn is flying above our houses. The unicorn is flying above our bed. He looks at us. We hear his wings when we sleep. They are the wind and the new morning. His eyes are red. His body covered in branches and leaves. The unicorn's wings are light blue, texture of snapdragon and clear cellophane skin. His eyes are above the stars. The unicorn brings us dreams and being, soft flutter of rapid eye movement. His horn, the bed we rest on, and his body, sleeping dream. The unicorn is loose. We will never chain him again. The zoo of our minds no longer has any doors. The unicorn brings us fresh strawberries before dawn. We ride off into the sky on his back. We don't want to hold on. We don't want to fall off. We are off. The unicorn's loose. Our houses rise 12 feet off the ground while we dream. A lot higher than that sometimes, you know. He's the messenger from the over-self. We go out through our third eye on magic thread onto his back, drifting off to somewhere for another breather. The unicorn's legs making their way through the equatorial breezes, past all the voices filling the stratosphere. Whispering, the unicorn is loose, and he's got riders. It's past the green margarine now. You can't catch me, and I can't catch you. We were coming together, and the Allman Brothers were playing on your stereo, us on the pillows, your eye coming into me, open head, no bugs at this altitude. You said before, and say it again, there is nothing to make up inside this tent or awning, over the colors and my gaze along your skin. Your two eyes becoming one eye in your forehead, or a third eye appearing, my come in you, your come in me. Shall be your. Chipmunks in one bottle, a blue, this road. See, a yahoo, yahoo, trees, winding, stars falling up on the chain. Wider, open yellow, I see, I hear a gap, a gap. Vanishes soup, see, saw, lip, two moons in one lip before sunny days in a marshmallow for Jupiter's gaze. No more sighing. See the hand alphabet, a spring of water running through the meadow, a rainbow sprouting beside us, running, 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 swinging on the light beam. Touch the marrow, kiss the tongue, gathering birds, ran, erase the tower. Sha, be ya, ka, ook, 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 see. You sing of the time when the story would amaze, and the lights were on the hilltop ringing. They sail right by me, the cars, and I'm alone on this highway, and the sky was full of the glory. You write about the coming dawn, the dragon dreaming is inside the tea. Come and tell us the story, more of the same color, the sea in the moon-swept clay.
Speaking, speaking now, you're speaking now, you're speaking, the eagle talk. Hey, the weeds is the ice, speaking, speaking, the evening talk. The ice is speaking, 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 the weeds is the eagle speaking, the sound of the stones is talking, ice is singing, ice is singing, the stones is speaking, the hair is living, the voice is touching, the stones is touching, the sweat is speaking, to the eye is looking to speak, the eye is the wind is the sweat is speaking, 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 the string is speaking, it's speaking, 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 highly speaking, highly speaking, it's the land of Shemania,
To awake in the red desert, awake in the red desert, awake in the red desert. Yon to the came a galloping across the hot dragon and curse golden stall, and raise your Fahrenheit today, hey, my shin, hey, to health and head yard is in reincarnated. At somebody's front lawnmower, are you too blue to come in this yawning red desert? Awake, awake, in time, the Buick's wheels were tender more than yesterday gravel. Her left in arms are laying just on the sand, a peaceful like and heart muscle here, a touch, love, suck, here, eyebrow, feel the hills ringing in, a branch of sway in time to enter the sea garden of last entreats me in the swollen suck. Kiss red juices over heads entwined. Awake in the red desert, Hey, you're melting into the sun on time, melting into hope, itchy tallow. Linger over me, melting into sand, itchy hollow. Melting into your spine, the highway, melting into the cactus, the own, melting into the dream on time of no time to hold only to love. The white line, melting into your contour on the side of the highway. Making love in the hot sand, at sunset. Time, or me, or under blankets, it is a joke, it is love, it's flesh and blood flashing, it's all together here, naked and immaterial to awake in the red desert. Carrying the torch. What happened when the Quebec government decided they didn't want Royal English shit on Quebec soil? The Queen said, I will dock my barge then in the St. Lawrence. The Quebec government said, we don't want royal shit in the St. Lawrence either to pollute our underwater life. After all, the Queen is not the mafia that we know of. The Queen said,
we do not have chemical toilets.
The Quebec government refused to purchase chemical toilets for Buckingham Palace. So Ottawa had to do that, and they sent designs to Queen Elizabeth of possible flushing units. The Queen said,
if this is what they do in Canada, then we do not want to be in their fucking stamps.
So Ottawa has set up $1 million research team to provide adequate shit disposal units for the royal family. 900,000 of this money has gone already to Lafarge Cement Company because of the serious rumor sent throughout the land that the royal family for sure is into heavy shit. Rainbow music. Tonight, I'm with my sister in the difficult subway under the desert, and with my brother in the fire tree. A way of speaking with one another, a way of dreaming, breathing, great toads, oak trees, strange to see, and the boats come to take us all away. We, all of us covered with long flowing white hair, the accordion sings in our heart, deep in the black pupil of our eye, the star in the earth, our arms in the water. And now the spirit sings, my head deep between your legs. Do you like the band? 7 Saturday nights, tapestry of wheat, the yellow flowers in my belt, the hills moving large and endless over my tiny head, and what appears we never know. Our hair curls waving round our feet, the soft lush grass under us, the release through our spine. No one wants to be alone through the tight silences of dark night. The rain is come with the blessings of the old ones. We heard my sister and brother and I what some say you cannot hear. Now we can make some sound together, okay? And that's it for me. This is the traditional honey chant. We're only singing honey and yelling honey over and over again and clapping our hands and whatever else noise you want to make for this time we have together. Honey, 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 thank you very much.